Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It probably is good first to say that the vast majority of people supported in the OPWDD system are not violent, but there are some people who are, and every single person, and there are over 100,000 people in this system across the state. Every single person is different. Every person has a different diagnosis. Some people have multiple diagnoses, and some of those are a mix sometimes of intellectual and developmental disabilities and mental health diagnoses. And so every person who receives supports from an agency like ours has an individualized behavior support plan if they require one. And some people don't, but many people do. And that behavior plan has to be developed by a professional. It's pretty regulated in terms of what needs to be in it. There are pages of requirements from the state of what those plans need to look like. And again, very often somebody with a behavior plan, most of the time violent behavior is not part of that plan. It may simply be other needs that they have. But every person has an individualized approach for what they need based on their diagnoses and based on what a professional indicates is needed for them to support them for their best mental health. And so what is really important is that any staff who work with that person are familiar with that plan and well trained on it so that they can provide that individualized type of support that's called for in that person's plan.
Now, I'm assuming if somebody were to just be one of these individuals or be frustrated one day and were to hit another one, they wouldn't immediately be classified as a violent individual. But what are some steps or some signs that you see where maybe a little bit more action should be taken with a specific person?
Well, sure. First of all, anytime there is a contact between people receiving supports, that has to be reported to the Justice Center, and I know you did a story on the Justice Center. So those things have to be reported to the state and investigated, and so that we can learn what happened and whether it was handled appropriately or whether other steps could have been taken. So anytime something like that happens, you deal with it as immediately as you can, and you also learn from it. Based on the outcome. There are times that law enforcement is called. That's certainly not the ideal outcome. Law enforcement have a very, very important job in this community, but they tend not to have the training to deal with these kinds of things. So you know, you're going to call law enforcement only if it's something that simply can't be handled by staff any other way. More often than not, that behavior plan provides the key, and the staff is able to understand how to de-escalate with that person because they know that person and they know their plan. There may, at times, the person may have medication involved. Sometimes it's verbal strategies, but in most cases, staff can de-escalate those situations. Sometimes they can't. Sometimes it does require somebody even to go into an inpatient, mental health setting for a little bit and get some additional support. So it really depends on the person and on the situation. The state, through OPWDD, also has a crisis team that can be called in for help with these situations. So there are a lot of paths that providers can take, and a lot of tools available. And the most important thing is generally making sure that the staff who work with people know them well and know their plans well so that they can intervene.
Now, you were briefly just talking about this before, but let's say for an instance where there's a day trip, individuals are going out, and there is a violent person who is going on this trip. Obviously, like you were saying, it entirely depends on the policy or, you know, what's best for them. But is there usually a person who would be dedicated to either overseeing them, making sure that like nothing happens, or is it just kind of a group effort from the caretakers when they're out?
Every person who receives supports and would be in a vehicle or out in a community setting has their own supervision level. So that's part of their individual plan that indicates how many staff need to be with them and what their level of supervision is. So for some people, it's, they have to be within eyesight of a staff member. For others, they may require, a one-on-one support who's really with them and constantly eyes on. So it really depends on who's on that trip. And agencies know that. Again, they can plan for those things. They know when they're going out based on who's involved in the trip, how many staff they need, and what they need to do to properly supervise the people who are on that trip.
Now, another point here that I've recently become aware of is that similar to nursing homes, there is a shortage of caretakers at some of these facilities. And whether it's just a lack of funding or resources, are you experiencing similar issues on your end? And if so, does that play a factor in the quality of care that some of these individuals get?
This is an ongoing concern, and it really goes back to the first 10 years of Governor Andrew Cuomo's administration, where he persistently and regularly underfunded this field and really saw to it through his budget priorities that the people who provide direct support to people with intellectual disabilities did not get significant wage increases over a long period of time. And it drove a lot of really good people from the field. They have families to support. The cost of living has not gone down over these years. And I will say that the Hochul administration has been very attentive to this issue and has been very thoughtful about injecting more resources into the field so that we can make a dent in this. But it is a field-wide, statewide issue of not having enough workers for this field. Now, providers have become very good at making the best of the staff that they have. So providers are not going to put people in an unsafe situation if they don't have enough staff to safely take people out, for example, into the community. Then they're not going to make that trip if they don't have enough staff to do it safely. But what it often does mean is that sometimes people don't get to go out as much or don't get to have some of those enriching activities because they just don't The agencies don't have enough staff. And thank God, again, the Hochul administration has been much, much more active in this effort and really attentive to it. But there's a very, very long period of underfunding that needs to be made up for. You know, I mean, I will say people who work in these settings, who work for agencies like ours, are dedicated, hardworking. They're very well trained. They could make more money in other places doing easier jobs. They stay because they really care about the people they support. These jobs are tough. And it does underscore the importance of making sure that they're paid appropriately for the work that they do. These really, by the type of responsibility that direct support professionals take on, it is not a minimum wage job.
And I know I'm kind of jumping over the all over the place here, but if there was an altercation between two individuals at your facility, what would be the steps taken to break it up?
Well, staff, knowing the people that they support, you know, they get to know people very well. They work with them on a regular basis. So most of the time, they really understand how to de-escalate. And it's different in every situation and with every person, what that thing is that's going to help them to de-escalate and reach a state of more calm. So it really would depend on the situation. But in most cases, staff are able to de-escalate. And at times they might need to call a supervisor or they might need to ask for some backup. But you know, most of the time these things can be managed, and sometimes they can't, and sometimes it might require involving law enforcement. It might involve, you know, needing some support from a clinician to understand how to better address the situation.
As to what you were alluding before to, you know, these caretakers have incredibly important jobs. You know, they're mentors, they're teachers, they're friends, but also most importantly, they provide necessary care when it's needed. With that being said, in a health emergency, what do the caretakers do and what are their responsibilities until other first responders can get there to help?
Well, they are, direct support staff are very well trained in a lot of different techniques. So their first instinct will be to go to all of this deep training that they have in de-escalating procedures. So they get a lot of tools as they train. And certainly the longer they work in the field, they gain experience. So they see what works and what doesn't work. But they will, you know, they will talk to the person. They will, you know, physical intervention is not the first step by regulation. I mean, the state very clearly says, you know, physical intervention is not the first step to take. It will tend to be verbal strategies, calming strategies. There are folks for whom medication is indicated in their plan, and that's something that could be part of an immediate response. So again, it really depends on the person, their plan, and their diagnoses, and what the professionals who prepared their plan indicate will work for them, plus the experience of staff knowing the person and understanding what works for them.
All right, and then just one final question here to wrap everything up. Is there anything about this that maybe I didn't ask or something that you think would be important for our listeners to be aware of?
You know, it is always, I think there's often a temptation to rush to judgment about what may or may not have happened in a particular situation. And, you know, it's important to understand that, again, the people who work in this field, by and large, do that because they really care about the people they support. And they work really hard get the best possible outcomes. There are times that tragedies happen in this field, and it's heartbreaking, certainly. It is not anybody's choice, and it is not what anybody got up that morning going to work looking to have that happen. And so, you know, I think it's perhaps extending some grace and understanding that these situations are really difficult, and certainly you know, those who have been affected, you know, my heart just really goes out to them. And anybody in a situation like this, it's a really tough thing for everybody involved.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill it deep to left.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.